Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now, and as Robin said a moment ago, we've heard from many listeners this week who are unhappy with what they describe as one-sided coverage of marijuana. Some felt our story on a study linking casual pot use with brain abnormalities was alarmist, and according to one listener, a total buzzkill. So let's bring in a leading voice from the pro-decriminalization side of the debate, Ethan Nadelman, founder and executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which campaigns to end the war on drugs. He joins us from New York City. Ethan, welcome.
Well, it's good to be on.
Well, you've heard some of our coverage. What do you think of it? Are we being alarmist at Here and Now?
NPR, I'd say, is better than most media outlets, but yes, you are being alarmist. I think that NPR, like other outlets, oftentimes plays into the inevitable biases in covering scientific coverage on drug use. For example, when multiple studies show no negative consequences from using a drug, those are not news. When one study, which has not been replicated involving a very small sample, does show some negative impact, then it becomes news. That's problematic.
But what about this week's series, which has been focused on kids using marijuana? Does it change, in your view, what the media can cover and what they should be asking when it comes to younger people rather than adults?
Well, obviously one needs to coverage the issues of adolescent marijuana use differently than adult use or medical use or elderly use or what have you. I think that's obviously important. But it's also important in covering the issues of adolescent use to be realistic and honest and accurate, to be careful in how one describes causal relationships. When you go out and interview a student who say, I can buy marijuana everywhere, but fail to point out that teenagers have been saying that for 40 years and that therefore that teenagers' comment is not a result of Colorado legalizing marijuana, I think that's a mistake. When you point out a study that talks about brain changes in young people, but fail to point out that this study has not been replicated or that a person who uses two joints a day is described as a casual user, I think that's a mistake. So I think there's a lot of work to be done in providing more accurate coverage of adolescent marijuana use and of the scientific literature.
Well, we should say that groups and organizations, including the National Institutes of Health, say that marijuana is addictive. They say, contrary to common belief, marijuana is addictive. Estimates from research suggest that about 9% of users become addicted to marijuana. This number increases among those who start young.
Well, I'm sure that's right, but then it's worth asking, isn't everything addictive? What else is addictive at no more than a 9% rate? Are you comparing this to a whole range of other widely used substances or to beer or to coffee or anything like that or other sorts of activities? So put that number in perspective, right? Secondly, ask what's meant by addictive. Oftentimes, the government studies define a person who's addicted as a teenager who uses any marijuana at all, notwithstanding the fact that their life may be totally successful in every regard and that their drug use may cause no harm whatsoever. Also ask the question, to what extent is it a problem that the National Institute on Drug Abuse, National Institute on Mental Health fail to fund studies looking at the beneficial uses of marijuana, don't encourage studies that might show no significant negative impact from marijuana? Those sorts of biases and political influences, I haven't seen the coverage of those sorts of stories.
Well, one of the things that you have said is that there are people out there who are using this drug casually and they're not out about it, if you will. Nobody knows that they are, and that changes people's perceptions because they don't know that their friends are using it or whatever.
It's not so much friends. It's more the older generation. I think that the younger generation, and by younger generation, I now mean age 16 to more or less 50 or 60, is more or less ignoring and writing off a lot of the reports that are now done about marijuana simply because it does not square with their own personal experience. I think the greater harm is done with the older generation of people who may not know people or don't think they know people who are using marijuana and are therefore most susceptible to being misled by these studies. You know, I sometimes say 50 years ago, everybody in America knew a homosexual. They just didn't know they knew a homosexual. And therefore, their image of who was a homosexual was shaped by dramatic media imagery or their fears or the most outrageous people. Now everybody in America knows a homosexual, a gay person, and they're ordinary people. And therefore, the extremes or the most dramatic or the most fearful don't represent the typical image. Well, similarly, everybody in America up to age 100 knows people who use marijuana, but most of them don't know they know somebody who uses marijuana. Therefore, their image of the adolescent marijuana user is the one getting in trouble in school, the one misusing it, the one being reckless. The marijuana user who's 17 or 18, doing perfectly well in school, on the sports teams, going to a good college, they don't know about that because that youngster is being responsible and they're hiding what they do, both from the media and from older people.
Ethan, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Do you smoke in front of them?
I've made an agreement with my daughter, who's now 25, that we won't talk about our own personal experience with this. But what I can say is that throughout, I've talked to my daughter about marijuana the same way I would about alcohol and other substances. I've talked to her about the relative risks and dangers, what responsible and irresponsible use means with marijuana, alcohol, or other drugs. I let her know that if she started smoking cigarettes, I'd kill her. I think what's happened is a whole generation of parents, most of whom smoked marijuana when they were younger, most of whom had friends who smoked marijuana, many of whom still do. There's a much more honest dialogue now that's going on between adolescents and their parents. And I think that's leading to a much healthier environment.
Ethan Nadelman, founder and executive director of the Drug Policy Alliance, which campaigns to end the war on drugs. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.